Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. Thank you and welcome to our conference call. You know, it's the usual thing. We're joined by Rodrigo, Gonçalo and João, the executive team of REN. And we'll follow the procedure of the last results conference calls. So I'll pass the floor to Rodrigo. Rodrigo?
Thank you, Ana. Good afternoon, all. And thank you for joining us for the annual results conference call. Ana sent me the comments some of you had made so far, and it seems that results are aligned with the average market expectations. After my introduction, Gonçalo will go through the financial highlights, and then together with João Conceição, we will be able to answer any question you may have. I have some brief comments about the results. Overall, we had a positive year. You know, we did very well in all our operational items, from service security, efficiency targets, plan execution, new business integration, all things that depend on our management capacity went quite well without any negative surprise, and that's super important to our team. From a financial results perspective, it's obvious that a lower net profit is always something we would rather not have. But still, we believe that under the circumstances, all in all, we have had a good set of results since we went through a year where we had higher amortizations and some tax increases that we will cover at a later point. And I'm sure we will talk about our tax challenges. In that regard, progress is zero so far regarding sales, as you know, but it seems that at least we see the light at the end of the tunnel. According to the government, with the decline of the social tariff deficit, the sales tax will come down and eventually will go away in 2, 3, or maybe 4 years, but that's at the most. We keep our court disputes, but you all know that it will take time. There is a couple of matters that I also would like to talk about, and I think they are positive signs for the future. Both Electrogas and Portgas projects are going well and aligned with our best expectations. These two projects were and are a key contribution to offset expected lack of domestic investment we had over the past 4 years. For the first time, we have seen our investment plans approved by the government. This is totally new and a positive important step towards the new energy transition plans introduced by the Portuguese government. The new plan will also have a positive impact on the investment outlook, not massive impact, but a relevant impact. The plan approval is also providing a good guidance regarding the next 5 years in terms of investment. This is something that before we always had trouble to disclose. Our EBITDA remains stable, our financials are robust, and we had a decrease in the level of debt. In this regard, the news were also good. On the results themselves, now Gonçalo will give you a more detailed overview, and after that, we will go through any other matter you may want to cover.
Hi, hello, thank you, Rodrigo. Hello, good afternoon to you all. So let me start right away on slide number 2 with a highlight. So I think 18 was another very stable year, very much as we expected year. I think that we are very happy that we were able to deliver on the plan that we presented to you earlier on 2018, and we delivered both on the numbers that we told you then, and we delivered on the integration of Portgas. I think we keep, as Rodrigo said, focusing on Portugal. We keep our equity story simple, and we keep basing ourselves on safe and regulated assets, which is what we like. In terms of numbers, EBITDA is growing around 1% to 492 million. Net income, as expected, was down around 8% to 116 million. CapEx was actually a little bit higher than expected at 122 million, which made cash flow particularly strong. We were expecting this, but this allows for us to decrease net debt more than 100 million in the year of 2018. If you want to skip slide number 3, which is just the main key numbers, and we go directly to slide number 4, I think we continue to see this, I would say, extraordinary interest rate environment. Rates continue to come down at a very low level. This is good news for Portugal. And this is, of course, some pressure on our own regulated returns. But we have for some time been managing this on the financial side, on the funding side, and we've in that area been managing both a scenario of increasing rates and at the same time also a possible scenario of low rates for a longer period. At this time, electricity returns then came down from 6.3 to 5.2. And actually at the rates that we are now, which is with PGB's 10-year bonds at around 1.1, 1.2%, we are very close to the floor in electricity and we are already at the floor on the gas returns. Moving on to slide number 5 and talking a little bit about CapEx. So this is the first point where we deliver on what we told you early in 18. We said that CapEx would be between 120 and 145. We actually told you that in 18 we would be below that interval because it was the lowest year in the business plan, but we actually were able to be inside with 122 million. Secondly, and as Rodrigo said, we think that the approval of our long-term investment plans is very positive and gives us full certainty of all the CapEx that we have included in the business plan. It is actually a little bit above what we have in the business plan, not in a material way, and that's not even considering the new measures and the new PNEC 2030 plan that the government has issued. To be very clear with you, we don't really have any new estimates or figures to give you now of what the impacts could be. We are still working on that. But even if they are small, it's good news. I think that it's more investment in the sector. In terms of forecast, let me just make a remark that don't forget that the number that is in 2017 there is only relating to 3 months of the company. So the 25 million in 18, 24.9 are relating to the 12 months and the other are not. So there is an increase because CapEx increase in forecast and we'll go to that, but it's not such a big increase. Moving on to slide number 6, we can see that REV evolution then is no surprise. And this is exactly because of this decrease that we see here that we anticipated and that we invested both in Chile and particularly in Portgas in 2017. So what you can see is that Portgas really does have a lot of asset base in the last few years. And relative to Portgas, let me tell you that the unit has been delivering on the plan. CapEx was close to 25 million, up from 21.5 million the year before. We are investing and continue to invest in the networks. We connected more than 13,000 new clients. We built close to 220 kilometers. So we have been executing on the company and on the growth that we told you that the company had. In slide number 7, we come to REV remuneration, and this, as expected, has dropped, driven mainly by the decrease of rates, but also, as I told you, by the decrease in the asset base. I think let me just tell you already some information because you're probably going to ask us about the new regulatory period for gas in the coming times, and just to alert you that some of the data are a little bit different. So because instead they have been more or less anticipated both around 2 weeks, so we'll have the first idea of numbers in 1st of April and then the final ones in the 1st of June. So João will then go into a little bit more detail. I think we are not expecting any major changes in the framework. He's been discussing this with us in recent weeks. So I would say that overall you should expect more or less the same thing. One thing also which is a little bit different is that now it's going to be implemented in sync with the period for electricity. So it will only start in 1st of January of next year and not the 1st of July of this year as it usually is. which I think is good news, even that the rates are coming down a little bit. So going for the next slide and talking a little bit about OPEX. OPEX this year is a little bit confusing to analyze because not only of PortGuard, but also because some costs went from pass-through to be in the revenue cap. That being said, what can I tell? What can I tell you? So in terms of personal costs, they grew by around 700,000 euros, but in the transmission business, part of this were costs that came from the distribution business because we were centralizing functions. And part of this was because there was a little bit of a one-off in 2017 relating to pension rules that have more or less a half a million impact. So I would say that without those kinds of effects, and it would be more or less flat. Headcount decreased slightly. What you would see if you saw the detail is that you would see people moving from gas distribution that were in the support functions back, or back not, but into our shared services centralized functions. That was the main move that happened. Overall, the decrease of two people. And talking about PortGuard, just to tell you that the migration and is going as expected with no hiccups. It's going really well. Most of the support functions, it's mostly done. The support function systems are basically done also, and now we are only migrating some things up until June, July, where everything will be finally migrated and the agreement of transition with the seller, with the EDP, will be concluded. That being said, I can also tell you that the cost at PortGuard level decreased this year as we expected in our business plan. Going for slide number 9 and talking a little bit about core OPEX, this is where I told you that it's a little bit confusing because of these costs that some of them are now in the revenue cap. The forest cleaning is the main one. So what you cannot see is that you see 3.8 million more, but at the same time you also have 3.4 million in the cap in terms of revenues. You have some costs that are related to electricity in the LNG terminal that you do not see, but also have corresponding revenues. You have certain costs that were incurred because of Hurricane Lally that have also corresponding impact because of insurance payments. So at the end of the day, what you would see was mainly you have a little bit more of cost because we issued debt that we didn't do the previous year. We have a little bit of cost because of the business plan that we did, a little bit more of maintenance costs, and that was more or less balanced by the fact that we didn't have any M&A costs. So at the end of the day, it would be more or less flat in the year. And I would say that's more or less the trend also for next year would be more or less to be flat or have a small decline within, I'd say, what the regulator usually asks us to be efficient. Moving on to slide number 10, and in terms of EBITDA, so what you can see is the result of this. So you have a plus on the PortGuard side and a minus on the normal decrease on rates of return. You have this, I'd say, one-off impact of the LPG sale. It was, in our opinion, a good decision. It was a non-strategic asset for us, and we sold it well. In terms of ElectroGuard, I haven't said anything, but it's basically in line with the plan. It's basically in line with the numbers that we had when we bought the company. And there is a small decrease last year in terms of revenue, very small, because of some of the revenues which are interruptible, as I say, so not the firm contracts, but the other ones. But actually, in terms of EBITDA contribution, it increased a little bit because the previous year we had a lot of transaction costs, which you don't have this year. So it had an impact of around 6.5 million euros in EBITDA this year. So this is another objective that we achieved. We said that we would be between 475 and 500 million in terms of EBITDA, and we are at 492, so another one that we delivered on. Okay. Moving to slide number 11 and looking at below EBITDA. So depreciation is basically the impact of business as usual and PortGuard. PortGuard is there, so it increases. The second thing I wanted to touch upon is taxes. So there was There's a slightly higher effective tax rate. So there's several things at play here. One which was expected is because the corporate rate for a company of our size increased slightly last year. So they taxed us a little bit more in all of the companies above a certain amount were taxed a little bit more. So this was already in the budget. It was known. The second thing is that because this year we generated a little bit more deviations in rent trading, that company that manages those two PPAs, that translates into a tax, a deferred tax liability, which actually adds a little bit to the tax rate. This happens every year. Perhaps this year is a little bit more visible, but so it's something that happens every year. Sometimes it's in one sense, sometimes it's in the other. Since rent trading normally is more on one side, the deviations are normally to one fine, it normally has this kind of an effect, but that's it. So there is nothing very abnormal. I think that the only thing which is abnormal is that we are still paying the special levy, but that's a story that you all know. As Rodrigo said, there's no news on that front. I would say that if you wanted to look at the normalized tax rate, I would go for something around 28%. That would be more or less it. In terms of financial results, I think we are keeping with the tradition. We are still continuing to decrease, but at a slower pace. So we came from 2.5 to 2.2. And that joined with the fact that the average gross debt actually increased during the year made the costs only go down by around 6%, so 3.5 million. As I told you, we have been careful to manage for both interest rate scenarios in this period. So our first objective is clearly to protect net income. Our second one is to optimize the cost of net debt. But as has been proven, it's not good to place everything in one scenario. This low rate scenario has been staying perhaps longer than many of us expected. I think we were prudent and wise to be managing for both this scenario. So we are now renegotiating some loans, which will extend a little bit more the maturities that we have, but we do not foresee any bond issuance in the short term. Moving for slide number 12, I think this is an important slide also because we were able to have an important decrease in net debt. This is also very important for us. It's just normal cash flow, nothing very out of the ordinary. This has strengthened really the FFO net debt figure. I think we are in a good position. This is another objective that we've actually more than fulfilled versus what we said in terms of business plan, much closer to 13% and not the 11-12% that we set. So I think this is an area where the prudent management of cash flow has paid off. Of course, in the future, we don't expect to reduce that every year around 100 million, but I would assume that it would continue to go down in the coming year. Moving for the next slide and looking at net profit. So it's down, but it's already also not only down, but above our target. So it's the normal. EBITDA went up a little bit, but at the same time, depreciation because of forecast went up more. We had a little bit more tax, slightly lower interest costs, but everything together made net income come down this 8%. But I have to tell you that this 115.7, so basically 116, is above, again, it's another goal achieved, is above the range that we had told you. So we had told you that net income would be between 110 and 115, and so we are, again, above or more than within, we are above the range that we had told you and fulfilled the target with the investors. So as final remarks, and as I told you, so this was a very stable year. Portgás revealed an important acquisition. It was an important year to be able to digest and integrate well. So this is, I'd say, already business as usual here under the direction of our COO who manages also this division, and it's going pretty well. Financials are improving as expected, and unfortunately the levy is still there, but that was not enough for us not to be upgraded by S&P recently, and I think we are maintaining a very strong investment grade profile. As was also published, the Board of Directors is going to propose to the General Assembly the dividend that we set out in the dividend policy in our business plan of 17.1 cents. So I'd say another thing which is completely as was expected. So with this, I conclude my presentation, and we open up the floor for any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A queue. This will only take a few moments. And if you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, please press star and one if you wish to ask a question. And our first question comes from the line of Javier Garrido from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have a couple of questions. First one is on the evolution of your net debt. If we look beyond the operating cash flow items, both in CapEx and in tax payments, the payments were significantly above the accrued figures. Should we expect to see a more similar number of payments versus accruals in the next couple of years, or should we expect to see still incremental payments versus a good figure? The second question is on the outlook for CapEx. You have described that it's positive to see approval of long-term plans by the government, but how let's say sustainable is the current CapEx level? Because if Portugal is going to deliver on the aggressive targets of renewable capacity additions and is going to shut down coal capacity theoretically by 2025, shouldn't your CapEx requirements increase and relatively soon? What is your view about that? And then the third question is on the interconnection with Morocco. Spain has signed a memorandum of understanding with Morocco for a third interconnection. Is this the end of the plan to build a direct connection between Portugal and Morocco, or is there room for both projects? Thank you.
On the first question, no. I mean, sometimes you have a little bit above, sometimes a little bit below. If you take the longer term, it should be more or less the same. If you want to simplify in your model, that's what I would do. Of course, in some years you have a little bit more and others a little bit less. That should not change the fact that you would have in the coming years still positive cash flow in every year, excluding any non-organic investments that you do. So you still have, when we did the business plan, we said that that would come down by around 200 or 300 million. If there wasn't anything like that. So I'd say that we did 100 in the first year. You can expect, I'd say 150 or decrease in the next 3 years. So something like that. But of course, tax is very little bit. Okay?
Jean will answer the second.
Well, regarding good afternoon. Regarding your second question, I would say on the first place, like Gonzalo has already mentioned, that the approval of our electricity transmission plan already includes a couple of projects that the purpose are precisely to accommodate this effort of a higher renewable penetration. That's why we are quite happy that with the fact that with this approval on a very short term, saying the next 2-3 years, we will have the necessary approvals of the projects that we included in the business plan. Having said that, as it was mentioned also before, We are at the moment assessing the consequences for the grid regarding the energy plans or the energy transition plans that the government put forward. We do agree with you that there are quite aggressive ambition into increase the renewable targets. These, of course, will have an impact on the grid. This, of course, will mean that the grid will have to adjust to accommodate this new renewable capacity, and that's exactly what we are doing at the moment in order to present our new CapEx plans to the government.
Jean, regarding the last one on the Morocco project, you know, this is this is something we are not really including in our plans for the moment. We always said that this is going to be subject to a government's decision. We believe, to your question, if we think there is room for these projects, we think so. We believe that both for Portugal and Morocco, it's important to have this interconnection. It would make sense. This is something that has been studied for many years, and it always creates more redundancy between the systems. And I think it's even good for Europe and also even for Spain. You know, this is something that makes sense. Now, there was a study that has been commissioned to a specialized company, and these studies should be ready in a couple of months. And then the governments will be able to make a decision. I'm sure that they will consult the TSOs, you know, both the one from Morocco, ONI, and us. And, hopefully this will be, we will have a positive outcome. I also like always to remember this is a very long-term project. You know, these type of projects, they take a number of years to be prepared. You have a design phase, a licensing phase, and then you have the construction. Then, We think it's a good thing that would help both systems, the Portuguese energy system and the Morocco energy system, creates redundancy, creates competition, and the Portuguese energy system and the Moroccan energy system, they are very complementary in the sense that when they have extra energy, we don't, and when we have extra energy, they don't. And then I think it would, even in light of the new plan, the new transition plans, I think this would make a lot of sense. But, and we will keep updating you as soon as we have more news. And I think also both governments will have to deal with the decision.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sarah Piccanini from Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my questions. I have four. The first one is on EDP Gas. The EBITDA of this business is actually showing a decrease versus last year. Is this fully attributable to the lower returns due to the Portuguese bond? And can you see any synergies going forward that can improve the EBITDA? Or in other words, if this 35 million can be seen as a normalized EBITDA for EDP Gas going forward? So your expectation on EBITDA in EDP Gas is the first question. The second is on consolidation opportunities. If you can please remind us which consolidation opportunities for external growth are you considering, and if you have any update from the renewable of some electricity distribution concessions in Portugal. The third question is on the working capital in the cash flow. If you can provide us a figure of the net working capital in the evolution of the debt from 17 to 18. Maybe I missed that you say that figure. Is this a positive working capital effect? And final question is just if you can repeat the process of the review of the gas, regulatory review of the gas business. So you said on the 1st of April there should be the first draft, and then this new WACC should be applied from 1st January 2020, correct? Many thanks.
Hello. So on Portgas, it's not all, no longer ADP Gas, but yes, I heard your question. So we didn't see the, so we actually don't see the EBITDA come down. It's true that there is a, an impact of around 4 million of the LPG business, which is, I'd say, a one-off. But on the other side, we also saw the remuneration come down, being more than compensated by the OPEX contribution. So we don't actually see the EBITDA come down. I think Anna can give you a little bit more of the details, but even excluding this 4 million, you'd still see it go up by a little bit. Okay, so that's not the case. Of course, looking forward, when you will implement the new regulatory regime that and the dates that Juan will explain in a minute, of course, that you'll see rates go down, and then you'll probably see more of an impact on the rate of return. But there, as of now, we don't see that. Okay.
I take the second, and then I will go, we'll go back to you. On the consolidation opportunity, just to say that, you know, we have nothing new to report. You know, we don't have anything that we can talk about at the moment. You know, we keep our strategy is the one we presented last year, and I think you know well. In Portugal itself, you know, we don't believe there is really opportunities at the moment. We never know, but we are not expecting really anything to show up that soon. Regarding our research outside, you know, we keep doing our research. You know, we always repeat our objective. You know, and somehow also Gonçalo already spoke about it. You know, we like the business. Businesses that are regulated and or are very close to be regulated. We only like geographies where we have, you know, a very stable outlook. You know, and we always play on the safe side. You know, what we did before is exactly what we will be doing in the future if the right opportunities show up. With that said, we know how important it is to, you know, to find, you know, the right opportunity, because, you know, what we had in the past couple of years is, you know, the effect of investing in Electrogas and Portgas was good, and it compensates a more mature market that we have here in Portugal. Of course, in light also of these new transition and new energy transition plans that all the governments are doing, and Portugal is no exception, we think there will be, you know, some more opportunities that we will take advantage for sure.
Just a comment on, for passing to João, on the issue of working capital. So there isn't a lot. So there's only a couple of things. What you can see is that we have CapEx of 122 and CapEx payments of 144. But I'd say it's completely normal within what happens normally in our business. And the other thing that you have more or less in terms of working capital is the fact that tariff deviations increased by 6 million. They are basically stable. So you would have even, let's say, a bigger decrease in terms of net debt if they stayed exactly the same. But apart from that, there isn't any. And these are two which are very, I'd say, common and even small things in terms of working capital. So I'd say it's not very material in terms of the evolution or the explanation of the evolution of the net debt in the period.
Well, thanks, Gonçalo. Regarding your question about the process, basically what impacts on us are three things. The first two are minor. It's just that previously us would do the first proposal by the 15th of April, and now it will do it by the 1st of April. And the final proposal was set by the 15th of June, and now it's supposed to be set by the 1st of June. But the biggest change is that, contrary to the past, where the regulatory period was starting on the 1st of July, now the regulatory period is postponed, and these new parameters and all these new rules will only apply from the 1st of January 2020 onwards. So these are basically the three changes on the process that the regulator is proposing.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Once again, if you do wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. That is star and one if you wish to ask a question. There are no further questions. I would now like to hand the company back for closing comments.
Okay, so if there are no further questions, I wish you all a great weekend. If it's sunny where you are, as it is here in Portugal, it's going to be great. And if you have any questions that you want to ask me later, I'll be available. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you.